Tonight, could we turn to Matthew chapter 27? Matthew chapter 20, and we're starting to read at the verse 24. I want us to come tonight to the cross, and we're going to see four things that happened at the cross tonight. We're starting to read at the verse 24 of Matthew chapter 27. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail nothing, but the rather a tumult made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood on us, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spat upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe from off him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And set up over his head his accusation, written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, saying, Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, but let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the 6th hour there was darkness over the land until the 9th hour. And about the 9th hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man called for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let it be. Let us see whether Elias will come and to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And we know the Lord will bless this reading from his own infallible word. The most wonderful story anyone has ever heard is the story of Calvary and what Jesus came to do on the cross. You know, friends, tonight God loves you and loves me so much that he sent his Son to die on the cross for us. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. He was born of a virgin. Adam's sinful nature was passed on all the human race. Man's sin brought God's curse upon creation. Romans 6 and 23 tells us the wages of sin is death. God is a holy God and must punish sin. But God has provided a remedy so that we do not need to suffer everlasting punishment for our sins. John 3 and 16, that great verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, my friend, on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus willingly suffered the penalty of his sin and of our sin, and satisfied all God's holy demands. The Lord Jesus was the sinless, spotless, pure Lamb of God. I want us to come to the cross tonight. And there's four simple things I want us to see at the cross tonight. First of all, I want us to see at the cross, there's death at the cross. Then secondly, I want us to see there was darkness at the cross. Thirdly, I want us to see there was a declaration at the cross. But praise God for you and me. At the cross, there's deliverance at the cross. Just four little simple things. And very briefly tonight, I want us to see there's death at the cross. There's darkness at the cross. There's a declaration at the cross. And praise God, there's deliverance at the cross. Death at the cross. If you had lived in the days of the Roman culture, the cross was an instrument of capital punishment. It was the lowest form of execution under Roman law. It was a slow, agonizing, humiliating form of death. Put to death on the cross were the lowest criminals. The thieves were put on the cross. We saw how two thieves were on the cross beside the Lord. The murderers were put on the cross. The scum of the world was put on the cross. What an agonizing thing it was. The victim would be stripped. We read about it. They would be stripped and scourged with an instrument made of thin strips of raw hide, having pieces of bone metal at the ends. The victim would be beaten into a helpless and then mocked. It was not a pretty sight. And we read there tonight how the soldiers stripped our blessed Saviour. How they stripped the clothes off him. They scourged him. They buffeted him. They plucked the hairs out of his face. And you know the thing, my friend, that really struck me. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus was marred more than any other man. Just think of that. There's been many people have been injured. Many people have been injured by bomb explosions. Many people have been disfigured in many ways. But the Bible said the Lord Jesus Christ was marred more than any man. Oh, he suffered that for you and me. Those wicked soldiers, they buffeted him, they beat him, and then they mocked him. Then they would take him to the cross. They would lay him down on the cross, and they would drive those nails into his hand and into his feet. Yes, the place of the cross was a place of humiliation. He was stark naked at the cross. There was shame at the cross. There was scorn at the cross. We heard how they mocked him and how they scorned him. It was a horrible place. It was a place of death. It was a place of rejection. It was a place of torture. It was a place of pain. It was a place of judgment, a place of death. Our Lord Jesus was subjected to all this. In Psalm 22 and 7, it says, "All they that see me laugh at me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head." And at the cross, that happened. We read about it. How the priest said, "If he be the Son of God, let him come down to the cross." He said he'd save others. Can he save himself? What an awful place the cross is. There was death at the cross. My friend, the blessed Lord Jesus, the spotless, pure Lamb of God, was nailed to that cross. And it was your sin and my sin, the sin of his people, he went to the cross for. My friend, there's death at the cross. But you know, secondly, there was darkness at the cross. Calvary, the name most used today, where the Lord was crucified, is the Latin word for the skull. But we read the Hebrew word tonight, called Golgotha. It also means the skull. The hill Golgotha, or Calvary, was located just outside the city of Jerusalem. We read in Matthew chapter 27 and 45, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness unto the ninth hour." In other words, from noon until 3 p.m., there was darkness at the cross. And during that hour of darkness, God put on his Son the sins of his people. And your sin and my sin, child of God, was put on our Savior. The old hymn says he took our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. You know, as I was making up this message, the Lord, I believe, put this into my mind. In Matthew chapter 2, we read, when the Lord Jesus was born, it says, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east." When the Lord Jesus Christ was born, an extraordinary light announced his birth. But you know, when he died on the cross, an extraordinary darkness announced his death. When he was born, an extraordinary light announced his birth. But on that middle cross, an extraordinary darkness would notify his death. During the 3 hours of darkness, we find he didn't say a word. We find that in this time, he was in agony wrestling with the powers of darkness, taking on his Father's displeasure, not against his sin, but taking on his Father's displeasure for your sin and my sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, became sin for you and me. And not a bit of wonder, on the ninth hour he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The blessed Son of God, who had constant union with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, on that middle cross, he felt his Father turn his back and looking away from him. Christ being forsaken of his Father was the most grievous of all his sufferings on the cross. Just think of that. Christ being forsaken of his Father was the most grievous of all his sufferings. Oh, my friend, tonight, that cross, there was death. At that cross, there was darkness. And God filled the darkness so that people would not see the suffering of his Son for his people's sin. Tonight, you and I are sitting here tonight, washed in the blood, because the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross. The Lord Jesus Christ was in darkness on that cross. All the punishment that was to fall on you and me fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. But sinner friend in this meeting tonight, can you say he is your Savior? Was your sin on Christ on the cross? You know, if your sin is not dealt with under the precious blood, That is why there is the great white throne judgment. That is for men and women who reject God's way of salvation. This was God's way of salvation. His Son went to the cross to die for sin. And that precious blood washes away the sin. And if you keep rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, time after time after time, if you don't have it dealt with under the precious blood, someday you'll stand at that great white throne judgment. And the Lord will say, open the book. And is that man or that woman's name in the book? And if your name is not in the book of life, the Lord Jesus Christ will say, depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. Oh friend, tonight, he went to the cross for you and for me. Are you washed in the blood? Do you know the forgiveness of sin? Oh yes, there's death at the cross. And there's darkness at the cross. But you know, there was a declaration at the cross. In John 19 and verse 28 and 30 we read, after this Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And the Bible tells us that he done it with a loud voice. As I said this morning, people who are weak and have lost a lot of blood normally don't have a strong voice. But the Lord Jesus Christ called from that cross, it is finished. What was finished? It is finished. All the types and prophecies of the Old Testament which pointed to the suffering of the Messiah were accomplished. We read in Isaiah 53, he was led to the lamb as a slaughter. All these things had been accomplished at Calvary. But you know, a full satisfaction is made to the justice of God, and a fatal blow was given to the powers of Satan. I want you to notice something. The Lord Jesus Christ's life wasn't forcibly taken. His life wasn't forcibly taken. Because when the soldiers came to break his legs, they didn't have to. The Lord Jesus was dead already. Oh yes, they stuck the spear in his side. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he freely gave up the ghost. He said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Therefore, expressing the intention of this act, I give up myself as a ransom for the many, and according he give up the spirit. You know, my friend, tonight the work of salvation is completed. No other way to heaven. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. You know, John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress says, blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that put to shame for me on the cross. Oh friend, tonight he died as our substitute. I think I told this story before, but I'll do no harm telling it again. I lifted a little book one time, and I told the story of a little shepherd boy. And the little shepherd boy was with his sheep one night, and he looked, and he knew that there was a big storm coming. And he wanted to get his sheep home to the home and make sure they were safe. He put them into the fold. He went to bed that night and he heard the wind blowing. He heard the rain battering down. He couldn't wait up. He couldn't wait to get up the next morning to see that his sheep was fine. He got up and he got down and he saw trees blowing down. He went down and his sheep were fine. But as he looked across the field, there was a train line going across a bridge, and his dad was the driver of the overnight train coming from London. And as he noticed, it was washed away, and he knew that lives would have been lost. So the little boy ran as best he could across the field, and he noticed the train coming, and he started to run up the track waving his hands. The father, of course, as the driver, didn't know it was his son. But he put the brakes on as best he could. But unfortunately, he couldn't stop, and the little boy was killed. People had been falling out of their beds in the overnight train. People were injured, and they were coming up to the driver. And they were saying, look, there's people injured in this train. What were you doing? What have you done? The driver then realized that the little boy had died. And he walked up the track with the people and he pointed at a little boy. And what a shock he got when he saw it was his own son. And he said to those people, "My son, give his life that you might live. My son, give his life that you might live." And the writer of the little gospel tract said, "My friend, God the Father would say to you, the sinner, 'My son, give his life that you might live.'" Oh friend, tonight, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? What are you trusting on to get to heaven? Are you trusting on your own good works? I remember saying to my Sunday school teacher, "Mr. Stewart, I'm as good as anybody. I don't need to get saved. I go to Sunday school. I go to children's meetings. I go to the Boys' Brigade. I go to the Boys' Brigade Bible class." And that old man of God, he says, "Tommy, will you see what God says about that?" And he pointed, "All your righteousness are like filthy rags in the sight of a just God." And I was thankful for a Sunday school teacher that showed me that my righteousness wouldn't get me into heaven. The only way I could get into heaven was through the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross. Oh, my friend, tonight, there's death at the cross. There's darkness at the cross. There was a declaration at the cross. It is finished. But praise God for the child of God. There's deliverance, at the cross. There's deliverance at the cross. The death of the sinless one who was God in the flesh was more than sufficient to pay for the sins of his people. His righteousness more than outweighed the sins of his people. He alone could have made the sacrifice. You know, the words save, saved, savior, salvation occur many times in the Bible and have exactly the same meaning in a spiritual sense. We speak of a person being saved from drowning. We speak of a person being saved from a burning building. We speak about someone being saved from a sinking ship. In each case, the person needed to be saved from danger. The person to be saved was in danger. Someone saw the peril that he was in and went to rescue him. The rescuer was successful in the mission and thus saved the person from danger. You know, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. He can save to the uttermost. You know, it is evident that sinners are in danger. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Therefore, a sinner is needing some forgiveness, is lost, needing to be found, is doomed, needing deliverance, is guilty, needing pardon, spiritually dead, needing life, blind, needing illumination, a slave, needing liberation. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ can do it all. He is the one that can heal me. He says, "I have come to save the rich men. I've come to save the good people." No, I've come to save sinners. And my friend, that's the only class of person that can get into heaven. If you don't realize you're a sinner, you're lost. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I didn't come to save the righteous. I came to save the sinner." And if you don't realize that, if you don't come to that realization that the only way to come to the Savior is through the precious blood. Through death, Christ's death and resurrection, salvation has been provided to God's complete satisfaction. Thus, at the cross, there is deliverance. What must the sinner do for this salvation? They must repent. They must accept the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Savior and be washed in the precious blood. The old hymn says, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from us, from the Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. By shedding his blood on Christ, He made a way for sinners to come to the Savior. Oh friend, tonight, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, there was a famous preacher in Scotland called Jock Troop. And Jock Troop used to have open air meetings, right, at the, they called it the Glasgow Cross. And one day he was preaching, on the wrath of God. And this drunk man stood and listened to him. And he walked in across the road into the public house. And he said to the publican, "Who's that across the road?" And the publican said, "That's the famous Jock Troop. He's the preacher that comes every Saturday here to preach the word." He's talking about the wrath of God. "Pour me out a pint of the wrath of God." And the barman said, "That's an awful thing you said." He said, "Pour me out a pint of the wrath of God." And as the barman handed him that pint, that man just fell back dead. The barman ran out to Jock Troop and he told Jock Troop the story. And Jock Troop that night in his own church told that story. And there was a man in the back of Jock Troop's church and he knew this man. And that really got to him. He said, "If that happened, I need to get saved. I need to get saved." But you know, Jock Troop ran over when he heard the barman ran over when the man had dropped dead. And when Jock Troop got there, he looked down at the man and he said to himself, "Another lost soul, another man who mocked God and was taken." As I read that little tract this morning, I said to myself, I wonder how many around the cross who mocked the Lord Jesus Christ, how many of them were lost. But then it came into my mind, there was a man at the cross and he was a rebel against the Lord Jesus. He was a centurion. And you know, he was the one that ordered the Lord Jesus to be scourged. And he was the one that ordered the Lord Jesus to be stripped. And he was the one that ordered the Lord Jesus to have the nails in his hands and his feet. And he was the one that ordered the tree to be put into the socket. But what happened? There was a change. Because he said, when he saw what happened, when he saw the darkness, when he heard the Lord Jesus cry, he said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." And that centurion at the cross got saved. There were two people saved at the cross, and both of them mocked the Savior. Because remember, the thief mocked them as well. But you know, they saw something of the Savior. Even though he was so marred more than any man, they realized that this was the true Son of God. Oh, my friend, tonight, those men who mocked the Savior, praise God, there was mercy for them. And you know, tonight, there's mercy for you. I wonder tonight again, are you going to go through the door and saying, "I'll not have this man to rule over me"? Oh, I would plead with you tonight, come and trust the Savior. What an awful place the cross was. There was death at the cross. There was darkness at the cross. There was a declaration at the cross. But praise God, there's deliverance. Excuse me. And there's deliverance for you tonight. You don't need a preacher. You don't need anybody. All you need to do in that seat where you're sitting and just say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Wash me. Cleanse me in the precious blood." And my friend, he'll do it. And he'll save you. And my friend, you'll be able to say that there was deliverance for me in Six Mile Cross when I came to the cross and trusted the Lord as my Savior.